Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. It is now just 15 days until Election Day. New Yorkers will decide if Andrew Cuomo or Carl Paladino will be governor. They will debate tonight with five other candidates on the stage, as Richard was just telling you. And yes, we will carry it live on the air. And I will host a live online chat during the debate. Also, the country will decide on Election Day how much to reject Democratic Party rule. So we continue now with our election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, with True or False, President Obama has betrayed independence. I do want to remind you that in the second hour of our show today, we will be meeting all five other candidates who will be on the ballot and on the debate stage for New York governor tonight. We know many of you are less than enthusiastic about both Cuomo and Paladino, so we are putting on all five of your other alternatives. And if you're interested in joining us during the debate tonight for the live online chat, that'll be at our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. So you'll be able to do your own running commentary and context along with me and some other people who'll be joining us live at itsafreecountry.org tonight at 7 as we air the gubernatorial debate on WNYC, 93.9 FM and AM 820. Now, as for the president, he put together an extraordinary left and center coalition to get elected in 2008. But now the polls show that his base is losing enthusiasm, while many independents do not feel like they're getting the post-partisan president that they voted for. Next week, we will do a segment asking if the president has abandoned his base. Right now, we ask, has President Obama betrayed the swing voter independents? Here is some of Barack Obama's rhetoric over time. Remember the speech that brought him to prominence at the 2004 Democratic Convention? Listen.
Now, even as we speak, there are those who are preparing to divide us. The spin masters, the negative ad peddlers, who embrace the politics of anything goes. Well, I say to them tonight, there is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America. There is not a black America and a white America and Latino America and Asian America. There's the United States of America.
President Obama at the 2004 Democratic Convention, the one that nominated John Kerry, he continued it after he got elected with this left-center coalition. This is the president at his inauguration.
None of these reforms will even happen if we don't also reform how we work with one another. Now, I'm not naive. I never thought that the mere fact of my election would usher in peace and harmony and some post-partisan era. I knew that both parties have fed divisions that are deeply entrenched. And on some issues, there are simply philosophical differences that will always cause us to part ways. These disagreements about the role of government in our lives, about our national priorities and our national security, they've been taking place for over 200 years. They're the very essence of our democracy. But what frustrates the American people is a Washington where every day is election day.
So that I said that was from the inaugural address. That was also actually from this year's State of the Union address, but sounding that same theme after 1 year in office, already feeling a little beleaguered, though, by the obstructionism, as he sees it, of the Republican Party. So that was President Obama at the beginning of this year. And here was the president campaigning yesterday in Ohio, putting the Republicans squarely in his target sights.
If they take over Congress, the other side has promised to roll back health reform so that insurance companies can go back to denying you coverage because you're sick. They want to roll back Wall Street reform so that taxpayers are on the hook. for Wall Street bailouts, and credit card companies can hit you with hidden fees and penalties. And if they win in Congress, they will cut AIDS funding right here in the United States of America and all across the world.
So maybe the president has been forced into partisanship by a rejectionist Republican Party. But the swing voter independents could, in theory, go either way. Yet polls show they are losing faith in the president and leaning toward voting Republican this year in large numbers, much more than they are being solidified behind Obama or the Democrats. So let's talk about why, with you and with someone whose politics are similar to many of those now becoming disaffected. He is Joe Cowan, president of the group known as Third Way. John Cowan, forgive me. John, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Great to be here, Brian.
First, explain what your group is and what you feel you stand for.
Third Way is the leading moderate think tank on the kind of center-left Democratic side. We've been around for about 5 years, and we really argue that most of the country isn't liberal or conservative. It's moderate in its outlook, and that we need a moderate policy agenda that is both good policy and good politics.
More or less from within the Democratic Party. You're a Democratic Party organization, basically, right?
Yeah, we're bipartisan, and we've done lots of work with Republicans, but our strongest influence is on the Democratic side.
Were you originally enthusiastic about Barack Obama and his 2008 coalition and the kind of language that we played in those clips from 2004?
When you listen to those clips, you really get a sense of somebody kind of trying to lift the country and their candidacy above partisan politics. And that was inspiring to lots of Americans not just on the left, but also in the center as well as on the right. And what we've seen, Brian, in the last 2 years is, and we released a report recently documenting this, is what we call a redshift in the electorate, a 5% increase among people from 2008 to 2010 who self-identify as conservatives, and a decrease among self-identified moderates and liberals. And that has huge implications for the midterm elections and the 2012 presidential election.
And listeners, I want to get a few calls from people who feel this way. This is obviously not a poll. This is not to bash the president or pile on. But let's hear from some of you, because the polls indicate that there are so many of you out there who voted for President Obama expecting something, what's the word, more moderate, more centrist, none of these words are perfect, more independent, more postpartisan than you got, and are now considering voting for a Republican for Congress in the midterm elections. And then we'll get some responses to you as we go along. But anybody in that category listening right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. John Cowan, are you disappointed at the policy level and what the president did? Do you think he has squandered the opportunity to solidify a historic center-left coalition?
Two separate questions. On the policy question, there's some things I would give the administration very high marks on, and there's other things where they haven't done nearly as well. Where they've done well, we did need reform of health care. It currently is still somewhat unpopular, but I believe there's a lot of good things in there that over time Americans will come to not just like but rely on. The stimulus was large. Some of it wasn't well spent. Some of it was absolutely necessary. And actually, while very unpopular, the financial bailouts, for the most part, worked. And your listeners should be happy to know that probably most of that money is going to get paid back. On the negative side, and this is a big negative, we've run up such large deficits, $1 trillion to $1.5 trillion. It's unconscionable. It's irresponsible. It is not fair to future generations. And the administration in his next 2 years is going to have to get serious about tackling the deficit, entitlement reform, and related issues.
Republicans say it was a bait and switch, that Obama was always about big government and liberal true belief, not big tent left-center ideas. Do you believe that?
You know, I can't see into the president's soul. I don't know that anybody can, although George Bush once claimed that he could see into Putin's soul. But leaving those powers aside, I think that the president is, like all presidents in the modern era, torn between mobilizing and engaging his base and expanding and making, as you said, Brian, a much bigger tent. And I think the promise of Obama politically was that he could significantly expand the center-left tent and bring in and keep in a lot more moderates and independents. It's pretty striking now, as you noted, a lot of moderates and independents are deeply disaffected with the White House and with Congress and, frankly, with both parties. But right now that's flowing to the benefit of Republicans. And, in fact, if you look at many states in the country, if the Democratic candidate for the House or the Senate does as well among moderate voters as Obama did, which was historically well, that candidate actually will lose because the electorate has shifted in so much more of a conservative direction. That's a stunning change in 2 years, and probably to many of your listeners who are more moderate and independent, they actually think it's a good change because it may make the administration change course.
Rich in Long Beach, you're on WNYC. Hey, Rich, thanks for calling us.
Thank you. My point is, I think the whole concept of postpartisanship is a little bit of a fantasy, you know, and you guys are kind of spinning your wheels talking about postpartisanship. Whereas if you look at Ronald Reagan, and I'm a Republican who voted for Obama, Reagan got an amazing amount of stuff accomplished, whether you liked it or not. He got a lot done with Tip O'Neill. Now, that was postpartisan, but he never talked about that. He just rode his wave of popularity, pushed the envelope as far as he could, and then when he couldn't push the envelope anymore, he started to compromise. And I think Obama's problem is he didn't push the envelope as far as he could, like especially on financial regulations. You know, I mean, what's going on Wall Street is just, it's disgusting. And, you know, the Democrats should have just jumped on that, and then there would be a lot more, you know, people who are happy. You know, and with the taxes, they should have taken a vote. I mean, who could justify a $770 billion deficit so that 3% of the country could continue a tax cut they never should have had?
Rich, are you a Republican who would vote for Obama again if he was on the ballot today?
Well, you know, the thing is, it all comes down to effectiveness. I mean, I like the guy. I would like to vote for him. But he has to get things done. I mean, they make a lot of big mistakes. So that with health care, you get nothing out of it for 3 years, and yet the Democrats have to go on the firing line and, you know, get shot for all the taxes they're going to raise because of it. That was just crazy. You know, they should have put something on the table and said, okay, 12 months from now you're going to be getting this, this, and this in health care. And they should have been real, not little bites. They should have been major, significant things. But they didn't. So now all these Democrats are going to get shot over something that's probably going to work out in the long run, like Social Security did. Because the Republicans could have solved the problem, and I think they would have done a better job. But they didn't.
Mm-hmm. Rich, thank you very much. And how much does that reflect what you're hearing from swing voters, third-way type voters, as you would call them, John Cowan? Because Rich is saying he's a Republican, voted for Obama, would vote for Obama again. I know from his previous phone calls that he really is a centrist Republican. He's not just a liberal one playing one on a call-in show. you know, liberal Democrat playing playing a swing voter on a call-in show. But he wanted to hear Obama go further with the banks to push the envelope and get that vote on the Bush tax cuts because the country doesn't really support that tax cuts for the top 1%.
What I love about Rich's call, besides the fact that he's so passionate and articulate and thoughtful, is it really encapsulates what is so what's so kind of upside down of our politics today. That's a Republican who voted for Obama, who's actually upset because the president didn't go far enough. And you'd be pretty hard-pressed. I mean, that's not what Sarah Palin would say. If she called in at the same time as Rich, she would say, I'm a Republican who thought they should have never passed the financial reform bill.
Right.
And I think we should pass the keep in place the tax cuts for the very high income earners. I think rich is much more indicative of where the center of the country is, which is they don't care about party labels. They don't care about your ideology. They want significant stuff done, and they're frustrated by both parties that they don't see enough progress.
Here's Patty in Yorktown Heights, a Democrat, but she's been making phone calls. Patty, tell me if I get this right, that you've been making phone calls for the Democratic congressman up there who's in a swing vote district, John Hall, and you're hearing a lot from the constituents in that district about President Obama. Is that correct?
That's correct. I was tasked with calling undecided voters and voters considered independent.
Uh-huh. And so what are you hearing from each?
Well, I hear from some that they like to talk about Obama, you know, rather than about the representative. And they like to say, some like to say Obama isn't liberal enough. Some like to say he's too liberal. And I think that the spin on that is, you know, the man can't be both. He can't be too liberal and not liberal enough. And I think that the conversation has to turn to the legislators we are electing this midterm election, and look at the candidates that the Republicans have put forth, who in general are extreme to the right, and make a decision: is that the legislative body we want to have, bringing more obstructionism into our Congress?
So that's your argument to the independents. What are the independents saying to you about Obama?
Well, they're kind of split. Some of them are saying they aren't. You know, I had a conversation last night with a guy that was upset because we're still in Afghanistan, and he thinks that Obama needs to get us out of Afghanistan way quicker, and he was going to stay home. And at the end of the conversation, he's going to go to the polls and vote. But people don't educate themselves enough about who the representatives are and the candidates for Congress are.
How about the independents who you're finding who voted for Hall, the Democrat, last time, but are now going to vote for the Republican, Hayworth? What are they telling you about Obama?
The interesting thing is that they feel that Obama did not stay on the to the left enough.
And these are people who are going to vote for a Republican for Congress, you think, are telling you that?
Some of them, yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Patty, thank you. And back to John Cowan from the centrist Democrat group Third Way. John, we hear the frustration from people who really want to support the president in these calls. And I guess the administration would argue that they have been pragmatic and big tent in their policies, and that the Republican alternatives run between non-existent and wholly irresponsible, like from no health reform to a kind that doesn't include an individual mandate, so doesn't come close to paying for itself, or no big stimulus bill at the height of the emergency at the beginning of 2009, which would have meant the economy sinks into a depression and millions of teachers and other local government employees would have gotten laid off, in addition to other aspects of the stimulus not taking place, you know, decimating local services. But this is not landing with so many independents, as your own survey showed.
That's right. And the Obama administration certainly would argue, and they'd have a decent case, that they did things that were necessary and pragmatic and generally hewed to the center. Part of the problem is that at times Democrats and the administration took too much of an anti-business tone. And in a recession in which you're trying to get business to invest more, and most Americans who are employed by a business, many of them in larger businesses, that kind of an anti-business populist tone, while it may feel cathartic and kind of meeting people where their anger is, doesn't really encourage economic growth. And in the end, if the economy were doing a bit better, people would have very different viewpoints about the administration. The key for them is going to be, for the Obama administration after this election, is can they come back to the center? Can they really govern from the center for the next 2 years, make their number one priority short and long-term economic growth, reach across the aisle and get some legislation done with Republicans who are willing to come to the center? If they do that, I think a lot of these callers are going to be much more satisfied come 2012. If they fail to do that, I think the country will remain as polarized, and it will be very challenging uphill reelection for Obama.
30 seconds, just on the politics of the moment. Do you cringe when you hear the Republican bashing that the president has been doing in recent days to rally the Democratic base, like in yesterday's campaign stop in Ohio, and many like it the last few weeks? Do you think he's blowing off a lot of independents by doing that, or can he rally the base and still reconstitute the big tent of 2008?
I think it's going to be incredibly difficult in these midterms to do nearly as well among moderates as Obama did in 2008 for Democratic candidates to do that. That will be hard, but every president in midterms in the closing 2 weeks goes hard against their opposition, from Harry Truman to Ronald Reagan on through. That's just part of politics. Last thing I'd say is I actually used to be Andrew Cuomo's chief of staff at HUD. I'm a huge, huge Cuomo fan, and we'll be listening tonight when you guys have the debate.
Okay, thank you very much. John Cowan, president of the group known as Third Way. And I will take that opportunity to plug our debate coverage again. Andrew Cuomo, Carl Paladino, and the five other candidates who will be on the ballot, all on stage at Hofstra University tonight. We will have the debate live on the air at 7 o'clock on both AM 820 and 93.9 FM. And during the debate, I will be hosting a live online chat. So you can do your running commentary along with mine and some other guests that we'll have 7 o'clock tonight on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. And we will be speaking with all five of those minor party candidates for governor later in the show. Stay with us.